You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. Everybody step inside. Got a great options episode here for you today. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. Kyle's celebrating a big promotion today. He's the new lead shuttlecock repairman here in the China Shop. So if you need your shuttlecock looked at, Kyle's the guy.
I actually know how to fix those.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't remember why or how. No, I've actually fixed a couple of them in my day.
Yeah, there you go. See, I was tuning in to your genuine talent.
I was going to say, well done hitting that W on welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah, you nailed that one.
Cool whip. Yeah. Come on into the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax. Rage Against the Hedge Machine. I'd like to welcome any new listeners. We got a special edition show today. We're doing a deep dive in the options Greeks. So if you are new to the shop, you might not want to start with this episode.
No.
But we are glad you're here. Got a lot of basic general stock trading knowledge at the, inside the Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com. Or we got plenty of beginning trading episodes to listen. But you've come to a beginning options trading episode. So if you don't know your stuff on stocks, this is not going to make any sense. And if you do, it still might not make sense. But we're going to try and explain it nice and clear.
Sorry, I zoned out completely.
Yeah. Oh, me too. I don't even know what I'm saying.
All right. Well,
all right. Okay.
So neither of us are experts. Let's just say that right off the bat here.
Oh, yeah. Far from expert.
Here. We'll try to post any links to anything that we're referencing so that way you can, check on it yourself. But this also helps us out just having the discussion on it, trying to increase our knowledge. So some of this we may be looking up as we talk about it.
It's true. But hey, that's the beauty of the internet. You don't know something. Try and look it up.
It's no excuse not to know when you just Google it. Speaking of which, I Googled the Greeks, and so now I've got the Investopedia page pulled up.
Mostly frat houses? Sorority houses?
Actually, surprisingly, no.
Oh.
All right. So what do we start with here? There's four main ones that I think that people should really be paying attention to. There's a whole bunch of other ones that are like the minor Greeks that I don't even know what they are. I don't think you really need to know unless you're really sophisticated.
And when you say options Greeks, what do you mean?
Okay. Well, yeah, let's take a step back then. So an options premium is basically made up of multiple components that come up to get that price, the price per contract. There's four main components that go into that. I'm just going to give the Greek names, the Delta, Gamma, Theta, and Vega. The Theta and Vega basically make up most of the contract value. That's the volatility, sensitivity, and the time value for that contract. The Delta and Gamma kind of give you an indication of how that price is going to move.
So all of these are describing how the value of an options contract is going to change.
Exactly.
It's not so straightforward itself on the surface because you can have a call or a put and you can have either bought or sold them. But to simplify it, it's basically just an agreement to trade stock in the future at a set price.
Yeah. It's like a pre-negotiated sale or purchase.
Yeah. So if Kyle and I negotiate, I'm going to buy his car in June for $1,000. Depending on what happens to the value of his car between now and next June, it's going to change the value of that contract that we made.
Mm-hmm.
So these Greek letters are numbers we can use to describe how it's going to change based on what happens. If the price of the car that I'm buying goes way up because it gets wildly popular and there's not many out there, well, then the value of my contract that I made with Kyle at that set price is going to go up correspondingly. But how? How much?
You know, right.
Those are the what the Greeks are trying to describe.
Well, what you're talking about right there, the main components of those two is the delta and the gamma. So maybe we should just jump right into those two.
All right. So
the delta,
what is the delta?
The delta is how much the options price should move for like a $1 change in the underlying stock. So I'm looking at, I got Virgin Galactic's chart pulled up here. I'm looking at the strikes on there. On TD Ameritrade, let me walk you through that. If you type in a stock, pull up the profile where it gives you like that quick summary view. There's a button you can click that says options chain. If you click on that, it'll pull up another chart. It'll show you all the chains. But to get to the options Greeks where it says calls, there's a little calculator looking thing right next to it. If you click on that, then it's going to pull up the delta, gamma, theta, vega, and rho, as well as implied volatility, the bid, the ask, all that stuff.
When you pull up an options chain, it shows you a list of the available options that are being traded for any given stock. Like Virgin Galactic stock, you might see there are $30 calls. There's going to be $35 calls. There's going to be $40 calls.
Yeah.
And all of those, you can get those expiring different dates.
So when you
pull up the options chain, it's like a menu of all the available options that are being traded, bought and sold.
So you got to do a little more digging to actually get to these values, but I've got them pulled up here. I'm looking at the $35 813 space call. It's trading right now at about $1.40 a contract.
So right now, if I wanted to buy a call, if I wanted to buy a contract that allowed me to purchase 100 shares of Virgin Galactic at $35, that contract would cost me $140?
Yep, that is correct.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm looking at the delta value is right over there on the left side. It's sitting at 0.549. So the delta value is going to be a number between 1 and negative 1. It'll be negative if it's a put contract.
Yeah.
So what this is telling me is that if the stock, it's trading at 35.24 right now, if it was to jump up to 36.24, then it should go, the value of that contract should rise by roughly 55 cents.
Which equates to $55 in real money.
Right.
So if I bought the contract at $140 and a day goes by and Virgin Galactic stock goes up $1 a share, I can now sell that contract for about $195.
Roughly, but you're still going to have other factors that go into there. That's like instantaneous, because you still have theta and vega and other things that are going to change as that price changes. It's not quite that simple, but yeah, it's a rough estimate. There's also gamma, and gamma is a little interesting because gamma is kind of how you predict how that price change is going to affect the delta. Does that make sense?
Okay. So the delta, that number of how that describes how the option's going to move up and down with the dollar price movement, it itself changes as the stock price moves.
Yes.
And gamma describes the rate of that change.
Yes. And that gamma value is going to be highest when it's at the money. It's going to decrease as it gets further out the money or deeper in the money.
Okay. So why does the gamma decrease when you go deeper in the money? Like, as the stock's going up.
Okay, so you got to think of it this way. As you get closer or deeper in the money, the actual delta value is going to start approaching 1. Because eventually it's going to get to the point where it's basically the value of the stock. It's going to move 1 for 1 with the stock because there's less speculation. It's so far in the money that...
It's guaranteed to be worth something at expiration.
It's mostly going to be worth whatever the stock is worth, like the difference between the strike call and the actual price.
Mm.
So because gamma is like a measure of the rate of change of the delta, when it's at the money, that's going to be the peak value of gamma. As you get further away from that, then yeah, that gamma is going to start tailing off.
So Right, because you can never get higher than one or lower than negative one. Or so you hit a point where the rate of change just goes gets smaller and smaller.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it'll never be, like, if it's positive, it'll never be exactly zero. And if it's negative, it'll never be exactly zero, but it'll just keep getting smaller and smaller the closer to zero it gets.
Pretty much.
For out of the money?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess it makes sense.
Ooh, all right. This is already off to a bit of a rough start.
Oh, yeah, I think everybody's asleep.
Is anybody with us still? Yeah. All right, gamma is always positive, too. That's another thing to note.
Okay, just shut up and tell me how I can get rich off of options, Kyle.
Okay, so let's look at this option chain. Let's pull up that 813, $35 strike call. The gamma, you can see on the 35, is actually the highest value. If you look above and below it, as you get deeper in the money or further out the money, that gamma value starts to decrease. And you can kind of look and see, look at the delta value at like the 35 and the 38 versus the 35 and the 36. And you see how they're tailing off, but they're not tailing off in like in a linear fashion. The difference in delta from 35 to 36 is, what is that, 55 to 42.6. And then the difference between 35 and 38 is almost half the value.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Gamma. Son of a bitch.
So you can see gamma working right there before your eyes. So what the gamma is actually measuring then is it's telling you how much that delta is going to change for a change in one point of the underlying security or another dollar in the underlier.
Right. Sometimes it'll bring the delta up. Sometimes it'll bring it down. I should say, sometimes it brings the delta up a lot. Sometimes it brings it up a tiny amount.
Right.
I read somewhere that delta is used to be a rough calculation as to the percent chance that option is going to expire in the money or out of the money.
Really? I never heard that. I've heard it used to hedge.
Yeah, I know. I just this morning, as I was perusing options stuff, one of the, I can't remember if it was a Seeking Alpha or a Tasty Trades article. But yeah, it was saying, like, if your delta is at 55, you can say there's a roughly 55% chance it'll expire in the money.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true.
We'll have to start paying attention to that. Maybe whenever we start buying calls from now, we should write down whatever the delta of that call is and see what that, if that percentage actually tracks.
Yeah. I know that I used to buy options with a lower delta than I do now.
Yeah. I don't like going less than like 30 on my deltas.
Yeah.
Because you want it to move a decent amount if the underlying moves.
Well, I guess we'll get to Vega. I was like, the only saving grace for that is Vega, but we're not there yet.
No. Okay, so we talked about how you can use the delta to kind of hedge. So another way that you can use that delta is if you're selling like this this $35 contract.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to sell one contract, this delta is also telling you that you have to buy 55 shares roughly in order to be delta neutral. So that means that if you sold that contract and the stock price started going up, if you bought 55 shares also, the value of those 55 shares would increase the same rate the value of your contract is decreasing. So remember how Rich is always talking about how he always wanted to be trading the volatility of the options contracts? So that's how he was doing it. He was using the delta calculation to figure out how many shares he'd have to buy for every contract he traded.
Oh, I see. Yeah, and so it kept him delta neutral.
Yes.
And you can make money by being delta neutral?
Well, yeah, because I guess that'll get us into the next bit.
The Vega!
So the delta and the gamma, the delta and the gamma tell us how the options contract is going to move based on the price of the stock itself. Mm-hmm. The volatility and the theta are the things that actually make up the value of the premium, right?
The premium being the amount that's above any intrinsic value.
Yes, how much you're actually paying to own these contracts.
Right.
Yes.
Right. If I'm buying an in-the-money contract, Virgin Galactic, $30, and it's trading at $35, those contracts have an intrinsic, that $5 value. It's built in.
Like, yes.
The premium is everything on top of that that I'm going to pay.
Yes. So let's start with Theta. That's the one that we talk about the most. I think that's the one that most people need to understand in order to be able to successfully trade these things.
Theta burn.
Yeah, theta is the measure of the time decay of an option. So that's the dollar amount. If you look at the actual calculated number on this space contract that we've been talking about, the $35 weekly, the theta value right now is a negative 0.133. So that's telling us how much value that contract is going to lose each day just because of the passage of time.
Right. So you got to, that thing's got to go up more than, if it's at 2 cents, you're losing $2 a day. It's got to go up more than $2 just to stay even.
Why'd you say 2 cents? Sorry.
I thought that you were describing a theta with two.
Oh, no. Negative 0.133. So that's 13 cents.
Ooh. Yeah. Even worse. Got to go up more than $13 just to stay even. 13 cents. Yeah, you multiply everything by 100 to get to the actual dollar values you're going to be trading at.
Yes. So, yeah, if you own one of these contracts each day, or at least one the next day from now, like when you open it up in the morning, if the stock price stayed at the same level, you're basically lost $13 just because of the time. And time is such an important thing because the more time you have, then the more chance you have for that contract to go into the money, right?
Yeah.
So as you start losing that time, then you start getting less and less chance of that thing expiring valuable.
Well, and I know, Kyle, you pursue an option strategy where you're selling contracts, so the theta is making you money every day.
Yes, that's theta is my friend.
Yeah. If you're selling to open instead of buying to open, theta is your best friend. I always think of the Iron Maiden song, "Time is always on my side." Yeah, for all you Iron Maiden fans out there. They're probably one of their least popular 80s albums.
But I don't think I've ever heard that song. Maybe I've heard the remake. Time is on my side.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
No, the one from Fallen? Never mind.
Right over my head.
Yeah, okay.
Well, anyway, underrated. Back to options.
You don't want to talk about underrated Denzel Washington movies?
Wasn't John Goodman in that one too?
Yeah, he's the one who's singing that. That
movie was badass.
Yeah, sorry.
That was a really good movie. Fallen. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Hey, stock trading theta. I honestly I don't look at the theta number. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
When I'm trading, I just know that if I'm trading a weekly or two weeks out option, I know that I want to get in and out of that trade as fast as possible because the theta is going to be so big that the value is just going to disappear.
Yeah, and the theta drop-off is not a linear thing either. It gets more extreme the shorter the time left on it, I guess you'd say, right?
The closer you are to expiration, the worse that theta burn gets.
Yes, and there's a big drop-off at about 30 days. So, but anything over 30 days is going to hold that value, that theta value, reasonably well. Once you get to less than 30 days, then it starts exponentially increasing how much that theta burn is taking away from the value of your contract. Mm. So, yeah, like you said, you maybe don't look at the actual number, and I don't really typically look at it too, but I have an understanding of how it works, and I think that's the important thing.
Yeah.
When you're picking contracts to purchase, buying a 30-day contract, if it's something that you want to hold for a month, that's probably not the best idea. What you should probably be looking at doing is looking at a 90-day contract and holding it for the 30 days and getting out at the end of that 30 days.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two types of trades I do anymore with options. It's either I'm trading weeklies to get in and out on a 1 or 2 day trade, or I'm buying options over 60 days out looking to sell them.
Before
that 30-day corner gets hit.
And then with the options that I'm selling to generate my income, I'm looking at 45 to 30-day expiration contracts.
Right.
Because that's kind of the sweet spot for when you get the best bang for your buck as far as taking advantage of that decay.
All right, can we get to my favorite?
Vega?
Yes. And he's not just a Street Fighter II character anymore.
All right, Vega. Okay, I'm reading the Investopedia page here, and it says many people confuse Vega and volatility. Volatility measures the fluctuations in the underlying asset, but Vega measures the sensitivity of the price of an option to changes in volatility.
Yes.
So what does that mean? An increase in volatility will increase the prices of all the options on an asset, and decrease will cause them all to decrease.
Yes. So, like, for example, I currently have some BlackBerry calls. BlackBerry today is trading at like $10.40 some cents.
Yep.
And I've got these calls that expire about 45, 50 days from now. And the strike price is $43. I do not believe BlackBerry will get to $43.
Mm-hmm.
But these things were cheap and I bought them because I do believe BlackBerry will make a move that will increase its volatility.
Mm-hmm.
So when it goes through a 1 week period of like, holy crap, it's really shooting up and down, up or down. Well, these are calls, so they'd just be up. Anyway, as the volatility increases, the Vega will, much like the Vega's describing, it's like Vega's, think of it as the delta of volatility. As delta is the price, Vega is the volatility. Like as that volatility goes up, the value of that contract goes up by the amount of the Vega. And so those $43 strike options, it's not getting to 43, but when I see that volatility spike on BlackBerry, I will get to sell those for more than I bought them for. The Vega is going to increase the value.
Did you say 43 or 40?
$43 strike.
Which expiration?
September, was it 17th? September 17th. September They're currently 17th. Trading okay. at 11 and a half cents.
Yes. Okay. Vega on that is 0.003 right now. The implied volatility is currently 211. Damn, that seems like that's already pretty high.
Well, I see him up at 1400 before. It may not be a good bet. I may have made a bad trade, but
it's cheap though.
It is cheap. I'm banking on, you know, the volatility going up, and changing the value of those contracts. I have also experienced it the other way. I have held some contracts that had the volatility in the underlying go down, and mm-hmm. I lost money on the contracts even as the price of the underlying was going up.
Right.
So, no, I mean, not a lot. It wasn't like soaring up higher.
That's the whole strategy that Rich is using, though. That's exactly what he's using. He's selling contracts on ones that have extremely high volatility, banking on it coming down, returning to, you know, whatever its average should be.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I'm looking at your calls right now. Okay, so the September 17, $43 calls. Like you said, they're trading at 11. Between 11 and 12 cents. That's the bid and the ask. The delta on those, 0.048. So really, it's not going to take much of a move for you to get another 5 cents of value on those contracts.
Oh, yeah.
You get a
50% gain.
So, yeah, I don't think it's that bad of a bet, but I don't think that Vega is going to be making up a very large component of that contract. I think that's going to be more the price change in the underlying. I think if you see that stock jump up to 12 or 13, then you're probably going to see a boost from both, but I think Delta is probably going to be the bigger component of that.
We'll just have to revisit once it happens or fails to happen.
I think we should. Yeah. I like it.
Oh, yeah. How's that price of AMC doing?
34 even.
34!
BlackBerry 1050.
Yeah. Anyway, this distractions. I have read this on more than one place that the volatility can move the price of the option more than the underlying.
Yes, and I think one of those, like OCGN, is one of the stocks that I like to trade or sell contracts on because that volatility has been so high for so long. Where like a contract that's, let's see, a stock that's trading at $7, you can sell a $7.50 a 750 call on that contract for, or that stock for over $1 a contract. Fucking insane.
Yeah, that's good money right there.
That's such a huge move that people are trying to price in on these options that, I mean, oh yeah, I'll profit on that every day of the week.
Yeah, how many months have you been selling OCGN contract?
Since March. It's kind of tailed off a little bit, but they're getting still good.
Right.
Well, here's another thing that you can use the volatility and all these other, another way to use the options. You don't have to necessarily be trading the options, but you can start looking at them. And if you see the contracts of like one of the stocks that you really like really starting to increase in value, even though the stock's not doing much, that means that there's something coming up. Like investors are the people who are selling these, the market makers are pricing in a movement.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pricing it into the option
that they think is going to happen. Yes, and sometimes that can happen before like the news happens even. And one of the ways that this happens is with earnings calls. And that's usually where you get burned the biggest on your Vega component of the contract. Earnings are such an unknown that the price of that contract will go up before the actual earnings happens. The day after earnings, the volatility suddenly disappears now because now the outcome is known. The earnings happened. Everyone knows what it is.
Yeah. That's what happened to me on my, the ones that had my Vega deflate. It's Bristol Myers Squibb.
Pull up the, can you give us the prices, the value, or the values before you bought it and after you bought it so that we can kind of illustrate that?
Yeah, give me a second to pull up my history here. Yeah, I remember it because I held it through earnings and I missed my opportunity. I had two opportunities to sell it.
Yeah.
Got a slight profit.
I remember.
They were both in the same morning. And then by the end of the day, I was at significant losses. Okay. So I bought it was July 23rd. I bought BMY July 30th calls.
Uh-huh.
$69 calls at 70 cents a contract.
Let's also say, too, the stock had been trading at about 68, 67, 68. It did not really move a whole lot during this whole time.
No, it didn't. And then, let me pull up Bristol Myers Squibb chart. Where was their earnings? Yeah, and they had earnings on the 28th of July, and They did get up over $69,
yep.
As high as $69.25. So I had on the morning of the 29th, when it popped up to $68.82, then down to $68.60, and then by that afternoon it had been up to $69.20, and then it finished the day at $68.30. So by the time it hit that end of the day, the value of those contracts, instead of being 70 some cents, they were down to like 40.
Yep.
Like that, almost half the value by the end of the day.
Yes.
It was just really disheartening. It was like, why didn't I sell those? And they expire worthless tomorrow. And
the same thing happened to me with Pepsi. Pepsi puts that I bought. I was stubborn and decided to hold one of those contracts till after earnings, and I lost almost all the value of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll learn you. I haven't had much luck with my runners lately.
So bottom line is pay attention to, if you wanted to use options contracts, trying to bet on a move during earnings season is very expensive and very unlikely to actually pay off.
Yeah, you're better off doing it with shares.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because that premium, we're talking about market makers pricing it in, that premium, everything that goes on top of the value and why there is value assigned to out of the money contract. That premium inflates ahead of those earnings and deflates immediately after them.
Yep.
No matter which way the stock is going.
Yes.
It's tough to do those options plays around earnings. I wouldn't recommend it. But you have to learn. You have to understand these Greeks to be able to see that and know why that's happening. I know.
Yes.
I was really frustrated when we first got into options. I bought some silver calls, and I was like, "Kyle, silver's going up, and I'm losing money. I don't understand options."
Or when you traded one of your first straddles, lost money on both ends of it. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. I bought a call and a put and lost money. They both. Yeah. It's really, really fucking. It's tough to wrap your head around it until you get into the Greeks and you start to see, like, oh, look at all these things, these different factors that affects an options contract that doesn't affect shares.
Right.
Shares is really straightforward. I bought the shares. They have a value. That value goes up and down. Done.
Options.
But options, so many other factors that affect the price of that contract.
That's why day traders love them, though. Mm-hmm. Because you can get, if you're using them to get in and out real quick, like one of the main ways that options, I think, are meant to be used, like you can use them to really gain some good leverage. Instead of buying, 1,000 shares and spending 1,000 times the share price, you can pick up 10 contracts for a fraction of that. And you're not risking nearly as much either. Because the most you can ever lose is the premium.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Pros and cons.
Pros and cons.
All right, should we review here?
Yeah, let's review. First, we got the delta.
All right, what's the delta, Dan?
Delta is the number used to describe how much value is going to be added or taken away, of course, with a corresponding $1 price movement in the underlying stock.
Yes.
So if I'm doing Virgin Galactic, if I have a Virgin Galactic call option, the delta is telling me how much value will be added or taken away to that Virgin Galactic contract if Virgin Galactic stock moves up or down a dollar.
And then the gamma?
The gamma. Those are the radiation rays that attacked Dr. Bruce Banner that turned him into the Incredible Hulk.
I can't argue with that.
So we can imagine gamma rays are what shocked the Delta into beefing up like the Incredible Hulk or shrinking down.
That's a long roundabout analogy, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going. All right. Yeah, gamma. Yeah, it describes the rate of the change of the delta.
Yes.
So that amount of delta will change along with everything else, and gamma tries to describe how it will change.
So delta and gamma are basically telling you how the option price is going to move.
Yes.
Theta and vega tell you how that price has come up with, like, what makes up the value, the extrinsic value of that contract.
Yes. Volatility and time.
Theta being the value of time and vega being the sensitivity to volatility.
They all will be your friend if you let them.
So there's a whole bunch of other ones, but I don't even want to mention them because I don't understand them. I don't think there's any real point in understanding them.
As far as I'm aware, all of the, they call them like the secondary or second level Greeks or third level, they're all used for very advanced, complicated options trading strategies that I don't know about.
Yeah, and I think it's because you need, it's saying that like computer software can quickly compute these and account for them. So I think it's more to do with algorithms because a person's not going to be able to pay attention to that many things.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. You can only pay attention to so many things at one time.
When you're doing your research, you can, I mean, theta, you don't have to really babysit. Theta just kind of gives you an idea of, theta just gives you an idea of how much time you bought, basically, right?
Yeah.
Vega is telling you, you don't even really have to look at vega, really. You can look at the implied volatility, and that'll tell you more. I like the implied volatility because it tells me how much the price is in the past has been swinging, like the highs and the lows. It's kind of giving you an idea how much that price moves, right?
Yeah.
A stock with higher volatility is experiencing more extreme price swings. So that means you're more likely to have a chance to have that contract in the money at some point.
Yeah, like if you look at the difference of when we were looking at AMC options back in May versus looking at AMC options in June.
Yes.
Like the volatility went through the roof on that stock. So all of a sudden, buying a call option $5 out of the money, it's super expensive.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and that's why, because the implied volatility is so high.
Yeah, and meaning that the people buying and selling options contracts know it's the volatility is so high. That means, $5 move, that can happen.
Yep.
But you look at a stock like Ford, and it's like a $5 move. I don't think so.
Yeah,
nobody. Like, those options are going to be cheap.
Yeah, pennies.
Yeah, because Ford is, for the listener not informed, Ford's trading at what, like 12, around 12 or 13 still?
1370.
Yeah, it's not going to make a 33% move in the next week.
No, probably not. Not unless some major catalyst happens. But, oh man, if it did, you'd want to be holding those then.
Right? The volatility would really increase the value of those call options.
Yeah.
Shall we... Do we have anything else you want to talk about, the strategies that, you're using? Do you use any of these Greeks when you're trading?
I like doing a screener for volatility. I like to find higher volatility stocks, and I like to go in and map out the levels of where the supports and resistances are. And then those are the contracts that I like to sell, because with the higher volatility, that Vega component of that underlying price is much, much higher, much more lucrative as far as when it comes to selling those.
Now, when you sell a call contract, is it always covered, or do you sell uncovered calls?
I always do covered, either cash secured puts or covered calls.
Okay, so if you sell one contract, you own 100 shares of the underlying.
Yeah, or I'd be selling a put just to try to get a position in there.
I found these days most of my options trading is like a day trade.
Yeah,
I'm aiming to get in and get out quick on a big move.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at like just out the money calls or puts, and I'm looking around 50 delta. I used to go lower because it's like, wow, if I get them around the 20 delta or 0.20, then when it goes up, like it's much more of like a explosive lottery ticket win. Like, oh my god,
right.
These options, I made so much of a percentage gain on them. But now that I'm like day trading them and I'm trying to ride like one solid leg of movement on an underlying, I find the ones as Vico walks you through, the ones around 50 are it's like they're just out of the money, and you can ride that wave of like Disney's at 170, and I buy 171.50 calls, right, and Disney moves up to 174. I can sell those, and I've made a good chunk of change.
Plus, it also seems like you get a bit of a boost once it actually gets into the money too, because you start getting some intrinsic value too. So if you're getting them just outside on a stock that you think is moving up, and it does happen, it seems like it goes up a lot quicker once it hits that threshold where it's now in the money.
I do find also if like when I was like when AMC was so volatile. I was trying to, and I did all right. I was selling deeply in the money covered calls, trying to sell those at the peaks.
Yep.
So as the price retreated, it allowed me to hold the shares, but not lose the value.
Yep.
As the value of that covered call I sold goes way down, almost penny for penny.
Yeah. And then you can buy it back and keep your shares.
Buy it back and repeat. Yeah, yep. I still have my shares, and then it goes back up. I can sell another one.
I did the same thing. I think when AMC was right around 60, I sold a couple $30 cover calls.
Right. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
For so much money. Yeah. Yeah, well, I didn't do it as well as I could have on my account, but I did help Jen, basically she got her AMC shares for free.
Yeah.
Through the month of June, selling covered calls and buying them back. Paid for the value of all the shares.
Yep. Like,
okay, can't lose now. Hold them forever. Anyhow. All right. So there you have it. Options Greeks. They are valuable to know. But really, I think gaining an understanding of them, part of that process and why it's considered so important, is it forces you to pay attention to how things affect the options. So if I learned about the Greeks and I bought that straddle that I lost on both legs, you know, I would know why.
Right.
Whereas before it was just a mystery to me. I was like scratching my head, like how could I have lost?
No, it's a great point. Yeah. I mean, you don't really the most important one really that I pay attention to when I'm looking at an option contract is just the time that the contract has, and I like to know the delta too. I like to know how much that stock, and they start to kind of become intuitive too once you traded them enough. But you really got to put in a little bit of work beforehand to kind of learn how they work.
Yeah,
pay attention to them, figure them out. And then once you start to know them, then you don't really have to spend a whole lot of time like looking at the Greeks themselves directly, I don't think.
Yeah. Like I said, I glance at the delta. I might, you know, when I'm making a choice on which options contract to buy for the day trade, I'll look at the delta and use that as a guide.
I look at the delta and I look at the volatility. And those are the two main ones that I like to look at.
And it's always, always more safe to be a net seller than a net buyer of options.
Still is, yes.
I think it always will be.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, it's just the way they're written, right? Because the person who sells the contract has unlimited risk.
Yeah.
The person who's buying it has less risk, but unlimited potential. So there's got to be a trade-off. The trade-off is that you're paying a premium, and the premium is set to the point to where it becomes now motivation for someone to sell it. Because you need someone to sell these contracts in order to actually buy them. If nobody wanted to sell them, then you wouldn't be able to buy them.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be willing to write it.
Exactly. Well said.
All right. There's one other thing that I wanted to talk about while we're doing this discussion, and that's these options alerts.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to take one. I pulled one up, and I wanted to kind of treat it like a logic puzzle. Let's read through this thing, and let's just try to figure out how much information we can get out of it and how that information is useful.
Okay.
Because I think that's we were following these things before, but we didn't really know what we were following.
That is true.
So I think we've got a better handle on it, and I think this is a fun little exercise. It should be helpful to some people.
All right, what's the alert?
All right, so I just pulled up Benzinga and looking at the list of 10 consumer discretionary stocks showing unusual options today. First one I'm going to look at is the QuantumScape call.
Okay, QuantumScape. I remember they had that huge, huge run up and down earlier this year.
They did. All right, so there was a call sweep with bullish sentiment on 813 expiration, 26 strike, 570 open interest, volume of 3.4K. All right, so let's take a look at the first part there. It's a call sweep as opposed to a call trade. So the sweep means that somebody wanted this now.
Right now.
Right now.
So they bought at whatever people were asking. They said, I'll pay it.
Right. That's where the bullish sentiment comes into. So we know that somebody did this right now. So they're paying either the bid or the ask, depending on if they're buying or selling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it's bullish means that the trade was executed closer to the ask price. They're paying whatever somebody was willing to do it for. So that means that this is somebody that wants to get a position. They're buying calls, and they want to get it right now because they think something's going to happen. They're willing to pay whatever the market price is right now. That's the first key bit of information. Next bit of information, we've got the open interest at 570 on these contracts and a volume of 3,400.
Okay, so 570 of them existed before this trade.
Yes.
Wow. So this trade, somebody said, okay, there's that many exist, but I want 3,400 of these.
Oh, sorry. God damn it. I'm reading this wrong. The actual trade was 935 contracts. That's the volume for the day.
Okay.
But the point is that if the volume of the actual alert trade was more than the open interest, then we know now that the person who was, these aren't new contracts. These have to be new contracts.
Yeah.
These aren't contracts that somebody's offloading.
Right.
And that's always one of the things that we had a hard time figuring out. Is somebody selling these or are they buying these? Well, now we've got two key pieces of information that tell us that somebody bought these.
Yeah.
One, that it was a call sweep on the ask side of the end. And two, there were more that they were bought than there was actual open interest. So that person couldn't have been selling them because they didn't exist.
Well, they could have been writing the contract, though, right?
They could have, but then that would have sold at the bid.
Ah! Deduction.
Right?
Yeah.
So now this little line here, a call option sweep that happens to be bullish, expiring in 4 days, 935 contracts at a $26 strike, that suddenly becomes a lot more useful information.
Yeah.
We know that somebody made a bullish trade trying to get in to position as quickly as he possibly could for a move that he thinks is going to go up.
Right. To try and control as many QuantumScape shares as possible.
Yes.
Because that's what options do. They allow you to control the leverage of the underlying shares.
So here's the things that you need to pay attention to, I think, when it comes to an options alert. Is it a trade or a sweep? If it's a trade, that doesn't really tell you a whole lot. Sweep tells you a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Is it bullish or bearish in sentiment? And all that's telling you is, are they buying these at the bid or at the ask? That's very important, too, because it tells you which end of that sweep was.
Well,
if that sweep was at the ask, then he's buying them. If it's at the bid, then that means he's selling them.
So how many, what was the number of contract, 900 and some contracts?
935 contracts, open interest prior to the day was 570.
Wow, it's almost double the open interest. Something, if you recall, Sarah Glass mentioned.
That's why that's important, because if there's more contracts traded on the alert, then you know that it's a new contract.
Well, no, something that I remember her saying was, if it's an odd number of contracts,
oh, that it's, part, yeah,
sorry. it's more likely to be not a hedge,
right?
Because it's in theory, this person could have bought 900 some contract call contracts to hedge their short selling of QuantumScape.
That is correct.
So,
but because it's not a nice round number,
because it's not a nice price, because people tend to do their trades in round numbers, right?
Uh-huh.
If they're hedging, I should say, like they buy this or buy or short this many shares and then hedge this many options contracts. But if it's an odd number, she said that odds are it's somebody buying the options contracts to make an options play. Mm. They're not hedging anything.
Okay, I forgot about that one. That's a good bit of useful information too.
Yeah, she said it's not 100% rule, but it's good, one of those, know. Most of the time, yeah. Most of the time that will hold true.
Everything about this sweep looks like somebody made a play.
Yeah, they went long on QuantumScape. Well, I think the QuantumScape, looking at their chart, the fact that they're up 10% today, I think the person who made that bet has already moved on.
Yeah, and that's what I always wonder. And it's like, yeah, that person buy them and already dumped them. Like, you almost have to keep an eye on the volume, too, to try to watch for another one to come in to see if they've gotten out. Like, you can't just look for the initial entry. Because the more we learn about these contracts, you're not usually holding these things to expiration.
Yeah, it's true. Man, QuantumScape likes to move. I'm just looking at their chart. Ooh.
We got dropped down to the very next one. There's a call option trade with bullish sentiment, August 20th on BABA, 200 contracts at $200 strike. And prior to that move, there was 13,326 open contracts. So that's an example of one that I probably wouldn't pay too much attention to. All right, Dan.
Yeah, I think that'll sum up our laser focus into the Greeks of options contracts. Really just trading options contracts can really be intimidating at first, but if you do develop that understanding, you'll see there's a lot more profit to be made in options than there is in shares most of the time.
Yep. It's also a chance to lose a lot faster too, but
yeah,
that's why you want to understand them.
You want to understand them. that's why if you're doing weeklies, you want to get in and out.
Hopefully that helps some people out.
Well, yeah, folks, we really do hope that it's helping you out. If you do have questions, you know, hit us up. Feel free to ask twobulls@financialineptitude.com or 725-22-BULLS, phone number. Let us know. We'd love to dive into some stuff that you guys are interested in and you want to know more about. So just hit us up and let us know.
Yep. Helps us too, because we get to learn. A lot of times you ask questions we don't know. So
yeah,
gives us an excuse to go look it up.
Which is the whole heart of the show.
Yeah.
Let's figure this shit out.
Yes.
All right. Stay tuned until next time. We're coming at you with a regular weekly show here in a few days. We all just wish the best for all of you. And we'll all, you know, get rich overnight trading options contracts now that we know the Greeks.
Yay.
All right. Happy trades, folks.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.